Tonight, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Last week, we finished off chapter 9 about not believing their eyes. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the whole Sanhedrin wanted to get rid of Christ. They didn't want to hear about it. They didn't want to see it. They wanted this to all go away so they could continue their life. But last week we covered 14 through 41, and we saw four major points. First of all, there was the denial of the person that healed this blind man. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is God, the Creator. He is the Word of God. He is all those things. He is full of grace and truth. And He healed this blind man for the glory of God the Father and to show that He is God. And the issue was that the Pharisees and all those that disbelieved basically said, who ever heard of someone getting healed like that? They couldn't wrap their brain around it. It takes faith, folks.
Yeah.
It takes faith. And it was more important to the Pharisees that they observed the Sabbath day and when things happened than what had happened. They should have been giving glory to God instead of they were cursing God's Son. Because it was being done on the Sabbath day. They wanted the man to agree with them. He wouldn't. And he wouldn't. But the point is, he had not seen who Jesus was visually. He understood what he did physically to him. But he was sent to the pool, and he's coming back seeing. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. And when they can't deny the person who healed him, then they try to deny that this has ever happened. It was all a trick. You know, it was all, you know, a myth. He wasn't really blind in the first place. And they try to search to deny the truth and bring his parents in and grill them. And the parents were so scared of being thrown out of the synagogue that they really didn't talk about Christ at all. And so we see the denial that the miracle even occurred in verses 18 through 23. Then there was a denial to follow Christ. So now they have the man who's seen. God has touched his life. You can't take away what God has given him. And they try to make it just go away. And they say, hey, he's a sinner. And the man said, no, he's not. How can he be a sinner and do what he just did to me? And it just kept on going after him and after him. The determination of the seeing man in verses 26 and 27. And then they basically just said, you're his disciple. We'd be Moses' disciples. We know more about the Bible than you. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you knew the Bible, you would know that the Messiah is right in front of you. You would see all these things coming out of Isaiah that's happening, and they should have accepted him and received him as their Savior. And so in verses 30 through 33, he gives a defense. He says, look at what happened. And he basically sold them off. He said, look, God answers those who follow him.
Amen.
God answers those whose hearts are humble. And he says, look at the power God demonstrated. Had anyone ever in history heal someone that was born blind? The answer is no. So then it goes on to the decisions that were resulting from the denials. Because the seeing man denied what the Pharisees wanted him to say, they threw him out of the synagogue. He was an outcast. He was an outcast. And then we see he meets Christ. You know, Christ meets the outcast. Christ meets the one that are brokenhearted. Christ meets the one that are going through problems. He meets us at our point of need. And he gives his, he gives the circumstances there. And he says, look, he says, the one who you're talking about is the one who's standing in front of you, who you see right now. And he confesses Christ. And then we see the decree of Christ to the unbelieving Jews. His judgment's pronounced. They said, well, you're talking about us. Well, duh. You're the ones that are blind. Yeah. The guy who was blind is now seeing, and the people who were seeing are now blind. And so it's not a paradox. It's a sad reality. There's a lot of people that think they know God, but they don't. Amen. And then Christ's judgment is going to prevail. So tonight we're going to be looking at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21, a very familiar passage on the good shepherd or someone at the door. Let them in. Let them in. So, here's the point. The sheep are the life of the shepherd. It's so to give the sheep eternal life that Christ came down. He gives us eternal life. Christ loved us so much that he dedicated his whole himself so we could be saved. So we could go to heaven. So we could do God's purpose for our lives. So we see the sheep are the life of the shepherd. Now, before you hear this parable, you need to understand what was going on here. Back in the day, they had communal sheep pens. Everybody had their own flock of sheep, but there was only one pen in each city or each town. And at night, what happened is all the flocks would come together. And they would put them in, and they would hire a porter. And he would guard the door of the sheep pen so the shepherds could get some sleep. And then in the morning, the shepherds would come and have to call out their sheep to get their flock. So that's what was happening culturally. That's what was happening society-wise. This is a sheep pen in Bethlehem. Picture a sheep pen. Just rock wall with one door. One door. Kind of makes sense now, doesn't it? Kind of makes sense. So in verses 1 to 6, we see the authority of the shepherd. And in verse 1, we see there is only one true shepherd. He says here, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold." So what did they do? They had to climb the wall. They had to take the wall apart to get into the flock. "But climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." There's a lot of people that don't want to go to the door. They want to do things their way. They want to do some sort of counter. They want to steal salvation instead of attain salvation. And it's never going to work. He says the same is a thief and a robber, because there's only one true shepherd. This is happening right after this blind man is healed, because they reference that healing here in this passage. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11, God tells Isaiah, he says, "I, even I, am the Lord." And everybody read the next phrase. "And beside me, there is no Savior." So there is only one true shepherd. Everybody else is a thief and a robber and a liar. Verse 2. "He is the only one that can enter in at the only door." How many doors are there? There's only one open. And he's the only one. The shepherd of the flock is the only one that can go through that door. And it says here in verse 2, it says, "But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." Now, hang on, because the first allegory of Christ is that he's the what? He's the shepherd. But now he's going to go on, he's going to go even further as we go through there. So he said, "I am the shepherd." Who is he talking to? He's talking to the Sanhedrin. He's talking to the people who were supposed to be the shepherds, supposed to lead the flock, and they weren't doing it. And they weren't doing it. Verse 3, the first part. He is to be obeyed at the door. Now, there's no gate on this. There is a porter. And a porter is the keeper of the opening. And what history says, what custom was, is that when the porter, when the sheep were all gathered in, the porter would lie down across the opening and the sheep would not cross over. Talk about lay down his life for sheep. So, the porter represents the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Because he hears, he sees the shepherd, and he identifies with the shepherd, and he allows the shepherd to work. He allows the sheep to go through the what? One door into the fold, into security, into the hold. It says, to him the porter openeth. If you come up and you're an imitation shepherd, not going to open. He's not going to let you in. If he goes up and you're not the right flock, you don't get in. So, there's only one true shepherd. He's the only one who can enter in at the only door or the only gate. He is to be obeyed at the door. Kind of sounds like salvation again, doesn't it?
Yep.
Verses 3 and 4, he possesses the flock. You are not your own. You're what? Bought with a price. The sheep are not the sheep. They don't run the herd. The shepherd runs the herd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the sheep hear his voice. Now we talked about what happened when the shepherd comes back. How do they separate the flocks? They didn't use dogs. Okay? They didn't, right? They just called. And the sheep understood the shepherd's voice. And they followed the shepherd's voice. Sounds like what we ought to do, huh? Okay? You know, we're in this mess of the world. And we are called out of the world. And we need to hear his word, his voice. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth what? His what? Own sheep. His own sheep. Jesus Christ came to save and to seek that which was what? Lost. Then we become the sheep of his pasture. And what? Leadeth them out. So, what's the application for us as sheep? We need to hear him. We need to follow him. And there's only one way in and one way out. Okay? And when he putteth forth what? His own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they what? They know his voice. There's a lot of people trying to follow God, but they don't know his voice. There's a lot of people that say they know him, have a relationship, but they don't know his voice. You can't follow God. Period. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So there's only one true shepherd. He's the only one who can enter at the only door. He is to be obeyed at the door. He possesses his flock. In Psalm chapter 97, verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the what? People of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, and it goes on, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. So he possesses his flock. Here's one that sheep know, and we need to learn. His flock cannot be fooled. His flock cannot be fooled. Number 8:5 is 10:5. And John 10:5 says, and a stranger will they not follow. but will what? Flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Folks, the only person we need to listen to in spiritual matters is God. The only word we need to obey is this. Is this. But you know, as it says in 2 Timothy 3, other people come in unawares and they lead captive silly women, but silly men too, laden by what sins? And they're ever knowing, you know, ever learning, and what? Never coming to the knowledge of the truth. So here's the reason why. Here's the reason why this flock follows the shepherd. Because they know his voice. And they blank out any other voice. They have their focus on him. And anything that doesn't sound right, they reject. They resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. There's a warning. Lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Folks, we know what the truth is. And if it's not truth, it's what? Error. If it's a lie, it has got to be from the father of lies, which is who? This is binary, folks. It's either God or it's Satan. You're either right or you're wrong. You're either a sheep or you're not.
Amen.
1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us and heareth God. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Folks, don't follow things. Don't follow people that don't agree with the shepherd. Don't follow things. Don't follow people that don't agree with the word. And if it doesn't sound right, don't. But we need to be walking so close to God that the word is not rare, that it will do its purpose. So in verse 5, the flock cannot be fooled. Verse 6, there's only one message. There's only one message. It says here, this parable spake Jesus unto them. Now, you know something? It was a great object lesson. Everybody should have understood this one. Hey, their hero David was a what? Shepherd. He might have even used the sheep coats that were around them. But this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they what? Understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Because they must be what? Spiritually discerned. Remember, this blind man just got his eyes. He sees. And the ones who see can't. That is not can't, won't. It's a more appropriate word. Why? Romans 9:32 gives us the answer. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. But as it is were by the works of the law. What was the argument that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and everybody was giving against Christ? You broke the Sabbath! You know? That's why Christ kept on doing things on the Sabbath. Because he wanted to make a point. For they what? Stumbled at that stumbling stone. And Christ to them is a rock of offense. Okay? He's the cornerstone that they stumbled back. And it says, hey, whoever that stone falls on, be ground to power. So we see here in the first six verses the authority of the shepherd. In verses 7 through 13, we see the access by the shepherd. The access by the shepherd. Now, he changes the claim. So in verse 7, we see Christ make another claim. He says, I'm the shepherd. And now he says, I'm the door. I'm the door. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the one that lets the sheep go in and let the sheep come out. Okay? In John chapter 14, verse 6, we know this. Jesus said unto Philip, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Behold, I stand at your door and knock. Christ goes to every one of our doors and he knocks and he calls us by name. Do you open? Do you open? Verse 8, we see the condemnation. It says, All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Now, remember how the last chapter ended? The Pharisees said, Were we what? Blind also? Well, duh! You haven't seen Christ yet. You don't understand. Okay? It says, All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear. I'm reading through Jeremiah now. And Jeremiah talks a lot about the pastors and the shepherds not doing their job. In Jeremiah 50, verse 6, who did Christ come to? The lost sheep of Israel. He came into his own. The owner says, My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. They can't find the door. They can't find rest. They can't find God. So we see in verse 7 the claim. We see in verse 8 the condemnation. In verse 9 through 11 we see the contrast. Okay? If you didn't get it right verse 7, you're going to get it in verse 9. I am the door. Okay? I'm the door. It's not the law that'll get you to heaven. It's me. I'm the door that's being talked about in the Old Testament. You missed it. I am the door. By me, if any man want, enter in. Behold, I stand at the door knock. If anybody open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He shall be what? Saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Behold, we are the people of his what? Pasture. Oh, all these Old Testament scriptures come alive and they don't see it. They don't see it. They were supposed to know the Old Testament inside and out. The thief cometh not before to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd.
Amen.
The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And what did the Pharisees and the Sadducees do? They just gave a whole bunch of rules that they wouldn't even obey themselves. And that's what religion does, folks. It binds you and lays you up with burdens. And Jeremiah talks about, they come to Jeremiah and say, Tell us the burden of the Lord! Tell us the burden of the Lord! No. That they might have life. God gives us life, and life more abundantly. Christ says this, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and learn me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Absolutely opposite. There is a contrast here. You're either following the shepherd or you're following a thief and a robber. You're either going to life
by following the shepherd, or are you going to destruction by being stolen out? Just like the seed that's on the wayside, it doesn't bring forth any fruit. And so we see this contrast here in verses 9 to 11. Now, there's the counterfeit. The Jews, the religious leaders, were in this for themselves. We know. Because they had a council and they said, look, if we don't take care of this Jesus thing, we're going to lose our place in our nation. Lose our place. We're going to lose our position. Okay, we got to get this under control so the Romans don't take away us. They were all in it for themselves. Verses 12 through 13. But he that is a hireling. Now that porter was a hireling. He was employed by all the shepherds to guard the whole bunch of flocks that were in there at night so they could sleep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep or not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. So all those gospel prosperity, for those prosperity preachers out there that are in it for themselves, you're a hireling. You don't care about the spiritual welfare of your flock. You're robbing them. You're stealing from them. They think they're protected, but they're going to be destroyed. There's only one shepherd. There's only one shepherd. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve him God and mammon. And the hireling is just doing it for the money. Folks, this is a calling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We are called by God. Yes. And it's a calling. We need to follow the chief shepherd and bishop of our souls. So, verses 14 through 18, we see the attributes of the good shepherd. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. It says, I am the good shepherd. Okay, I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I keep on saying this over and over again. Are you listening? Are you listening tonight? Okay. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Here's the attributes of the good shepherd. Here in verse 14, he knows his sheep. God knows who's a sheep, and he knows who's a goat. And at the end, he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. And the goats are going to go to everlasting condemnation and hell, and the sheep come to him. Why? Because he knows everything about us. Psalm 103, verse 7 says, for he knoweth our frame. He knows everything that's us. He remembereth that we are dust. So the first attribute of the good shepherd is he knows the sheep. Okay? The second thing, he's known. He's known. Okay? He's known by the sheep. In verse 14 it says, and am known of what? Mine. So we have a relationship. God knows us and we know God.
Yeah.
It's not one way. God loves everybody, so you go in it. Nuh-uh. You got to come in by the door. Verse 15, he says, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. So he's known by God the Father too. And then the last part of verse 15, he will die for the sheep. Now, he's getting closer to the crucifixion. And so this is another thing. Oh, Christ was crucified at Passover.
And you know, that didn't work out right for them. They said, let's not do this on the feast day. But they wound up what? Doing it on the feast day. When they're slaying the Passover lambs, Christ is slain. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He lays down at the door. He is the door. He's the good shepherd. There's only one way in. And there's only one way out. The way out is to follow him. The way in is to follow him. And to hear his voice. In verse 16, he will increase the flock. Now, they didn't like this. They didn't like him now. They're going to like him even less. Because the worst thing that you could be on the face of the earth was a non-Jew, a Gentile. I hear the Roman soldiers going up and down. And in verse 16 it says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this what? Fold. They're not Israelites. Okay? Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off, the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, are made what? Nigh by the same reason the Jews are made nigh to Christ by the blood of Christ. For he is our what? Peace. Who hath made both one. There is neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian or... I got that all mixed up. You know, bond or free, slave or free, it doesn't matter. We're all one in Christ. He says, for he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the what? The middle wall partition between us. So he will increase the flock. Okay? So he knows the sheep. He's known by the sheep. He's known by the Father. He will die for the sheep. He will increase his flock. And he's loved by God the Father. In verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I what? Lay down my life that I might take it again. Because that was the whole purpose that Christ came to the earth in the first place.
Amen.
Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. For he is the propitiation. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He's loved God the Father because he's doing his Father's will. He is the power of resurrection.
Amen.
In John 10, verse 18, says, no man taketh from me what? His life. But I lay it down of myself. You know why? They couldn't take him because his hour had not come. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up, take it again. This what? Commandment have I received of my Father. And so we as sheep need to do what Philippians 3:10 says this, that I may what? Know him. And the power of his what? Resurrection. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if Christ is not raised, we are in big trouble. Then our faith is vain. And our hope is vain. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. So we see the attributes of the Good Shepherd here in verses 14 through 18. Now as we close this passage, we see the assessment of the shepherd. So he's talking to everybody, and they're all hearing him. And they're going to make a decision. Verses 19 through 21 says, there was a division, therefore what? Again. Every time Christ says this, there's a bunch of people said, he could be. There's a lot of people says, he's not. But there's this disagreement, okay? He says there's a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these things. And when we talk about the Jews, we're not talking about the nation, we're just talking about the religious leaders at that time. And many of them said, he hath a what? Devil. And is mad. Why hear ye him? And there's a few of them. Nicodemus. There's a few of them. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the what? Blind. And so now we see that all this has started because of what Christ did with the blind man. So we see 2 points here. We see the conflict that's caused in verse 19. You know, biggest arguments and wars have been fought over belief and religion. Christ himself said in Matthew 10, verses 34 through 35, he says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a what? Sword. For I come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. See, here's the problem. Someone in a household gets saved and the other people are lost. There's friction. Yes. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about it. But the issue is that look at what Christ had to go through. In this world, we're going to have what? Tribulation. And so this is, God gives the grace to deal with this. And so Christ, when he comes back the second time, is going to bring peace. Amen. He's going to rule the world. It's going to be a utopian society, but not now. Not now it is, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's a spiritual world. For the word of God is sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. And it finds the intents and thoughts of the heart. So we see the conflict that's caused. There was a division again amongst them. And then there's the choices made in verses 20 through 21. Most of them said what? He's mad. He's demon-possessed. The other, there's a few say, how can he have a devil? The devil's not going to open anybody, but they don't admit what? They don't admit that he's Christ. See, we have a choice. It kind of summed up what Pilate said. Pilate said to them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? So, the question is, what are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to do with the testimony of Christ? What are you going to do with the truth that you heard tonight? They all said unto him, the majority said, let him be crucified. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 16. Christ comes and asks his disciples, the ones been walking with him. And he says, but who do you say I am? Tonight, I'm challenging you. Who do you say Christ is? He's either Savior or he's not. He's either Lord or he's not. Paul said, I only want one thing answered. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. There's no other decision more important than this. But whom say ye that I? Not what other people think. What do you think about Christ tonight? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what everybody in the crowd should have said in the temple that day. Amen. Instead of people being thrown out for it, they have been coming to him. But that's not the case. Is Jesus your shepherd? Not you shepherd, but your shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. I'll close with this. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen? So are you his sheep and the people of his pasture? If not, you need to get saved tonight. You need to accept his crucifixion of Christ for your forgiveness of sins, his resurrection for the power of forgiveness, and accept him as your Savior. How about it? For us, are we hearing his voice? Are we following him? That's the challenge for us as Christians. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, help us change our life. Help you have your Holy Spirit have full reign here tonight. We ask this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.